and welcome to A Drummer's Guide to the podcast, all about the things it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument. My name is Emily Dolan Davies. I am a drummer by trade and I enjoy talking a lot. So today I wanted to address a subject basically that was inspired by a post that I saw on Instagram, and it was I think it's called Mastering Acting or something like that is the Instagram account, but it was this interview with John Lithgow, the actor, and he was talking about the importance of having something creatively that is your own, that doesn't rely on having other people calling you for work or anything else. And this really resonated with me. It's something that I've sort of realized for a long time now, and just hearing him talk about it really sparked something in me that I was like, I should really talk about this, because I've gone through a whole journey with that kind of feeling of realizing how important it is to have something that is your own, that doesn't rely on other people giving you value through calling you, through emailing you for gigs, for tours, for auditions, for all of that stuff, all of the things that are inherent about being a professional session musician, a professional musician, or professional creative. It does rely a lot on the sort of input from external people, which is fine, absolutely fine. It's the way it is. I think there needs to be a huge amount of acceptance when it comes to that. However, I think the importance of having that other side to what you do that is more based around what you want and what your internal feelings are is really important, and I don't think that many people talk about how important that is, just for your own health, like your own mental health, your own sanity. Forget about mental health, just sanity generally. It's from my personal experience at least, it has been life-changing. So I wanted to talk about my kind of journey with what that has looked like in the past for me, because I'm hoping that if you're going through what I used to feel a lot, I if you are going through that, I hope that this can kind of give you some sort of either just solace that you're not alone in feeling like that, maybe some inspiration in how to, I don't know, take back some of your own autonomy. Is that the right word? I don't know. It's the word that I'm going to use. Let's hope it's the correct definition. So let's go back to when I was sort of in my late teens. I think that was when this feeling was most prominent. And basically what it felt like to me when I was around about 18, so I'd left school, I'd done my A-levels over here in the UK as a deal with my parents, who basically said, look, we want you to pursue this drumming thing, however, can you please just do your A-levels so that if you, you know, lose a limb or something, at least you have some qualifications to fall back on, which I agreed. They've been so gracious in their support for what I do. They've always sort of been like, look, it's gonna be hard work, but you can do it, let's do it. So out of respect for that kind of support, which I know I'm incredibly lucky to have had, to continue to have, I was like, yeah, cool, I'll do my A-levels. But anyway, I'd done that and I was out the other side. I was playing in covers bands sort of like maybe once or twice a week, and I was earning a little bit of money, certainly not enough to call myself a professional musician, because I had this threshold. It's like, no, I am not officially a professional musician until I am fully living my life, moved out of home, paying my bills from drumming. That was kind of in my head and that was my sort of goal. But aside from that goal, I really just felt like I was in what could only be described as the middle of the sea, flailing around. I knew that I wanted to be a professional drummer. I'd known that for years. I'd known that since I was sort of 14 years old. I was striving towards that. However, the magnitude of that goal was an entire ocean. And I couldn't see any islands. I couldn't see any boats. I literally just felt completely alone. I was either treading water, I was semi-drowning. I didn't know which way I should be swimming because it felt like just all of it existed, and I didn't know what I should be doing. And as you can imagine, I mean, at any age, that was so overwhelming to the point that I just felt completely paralyzed. I didn't know what I should be focusing on, how I should, you know, like I say, which direction to start swimming in, just where I should be going, you know, what I should be doing. And that lack of focus, as I say, rendered me completely useless, and I just couldn't do anything. I ended up procrastinating so much when I was younger. You know, I got into some terrible habits of, like, just, you know, just sitting in front of the TV and just watching absolute rubbish instead. I was in a position where I didn't have somewhere that I could practice, so in order for me to go and practice, that would involve me packing up my kit in my car, driving probably about 40 minutes an hour, and then basically booking out a studio for a few hours, which was fine. But when you are in the middle of that ocean and you don't know what in the world you should be focusing on, it just felt like I don't even know what I would do when I get there. So why would I do that? Like, it's all just too much. It's all just too much. Now, occasionally I would get thrown a life ring, you know, those rings that they throw out when people fall overboard. Occasionally I would get thrown one of those, and what that looked like to me was like a phone call for an audition, a phone call for a one-off gig. Occasionally I would get a little boat that would come by and offer me a tour, and you know what I mean, and those things I would grab hold of. It would give me a focus, it would give me a target, it would give me goals to focus on, and I would be in my flipping element. I really want to swear, but I promised myself I wouldn't swear on this podcast. But that was when I would come alive, and that's when everything made sense and everything came into focus and everything just was brilliant, and I was like, yes, and I'm doing the thing. Now, the problem with this is that inevitably either I wouldn't get the audition, the gig would be over, you know, I'd be driving home from it and go, well, that was that. Oh, the tour would end. And then it was like straight back in that ocean and straight back to that fear and straight back to that not even knowing which way I should be turning, what I should be doing. No idea, like literally just so helpless. Oh, the other fun thing about me and my brain is that I find it very difficult to ask for help. It's probably my biggest flaw. Occasionally I overcome it. I want to say I'm getting better at it, but realistically I'm not. It's just one of those things. I find it very hard. I have asked for help in the past. It's been met beautifully. I've had friends that have helped me out with things that I've needed, like literally last resort. That is my thing with reaching out to people, which is terrible. I don't recommend it. Please ask people for help. It makes life so much easier. This is my thing to burden, and it's fine. I semi accept that about myself, and I semi am working on it, so that's fine. But anyway, the point is I would be straight back in that ocean and I just wouldn't know where to turn. Now, then what I would do when I'm flailing, desperately trying to swim somewhere, I would start looking externally to other people's experiences to help guide me in where I should be turning. And that would be in the form of books, whether that's printed or audiobooks, and I'm not talking just necessarily like I would read a lot of biographies and research a lot of drummers that were doing what I wanted to do and research what they did when they were coming up. I would also listen to a lot of like self-help books, so I was going further than just, you know, my career in music. It was about just feeling fulfilled in myself generally in life, because I just felt so lost and I felt so directionless, and all those things. So I would do that. I would be listening to podcasts as well. In fairness, that was probably later on because I'm not even sure podcasts were around when I was that young. So it was more audiobooks for me at that time. But yeah, and then maybe I would talk to other people when I was feeling super, super brave and I was happy to be vulnerable with someone and go, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I should be doing. And those came in the form of wonderful, wonderful people that I still owe so much of my success to. People like Mike Dolbear, people like Jeff Dugmore, people like Ralph Salmins, people like Ash Sohn, people like, oh, there's just Carl Brazil. There's so many wonderful drummers that I would reach out to in these moments of like fear and worry and just feeling lost, and they would just reassure me, it's okay, this is how it is, you're all right, just keep going, it will be all right. So that's what I would do in these moments. I would desperately clamber at everyone else's experiences and just try and get as much input as I can and fill my brain. I have this thing where when I say the words feel, F-E-E-L, and fill, F-I-L-L, they sound the same to a lot of people. So when I fill, F-I-L-L, I would fill my brain, basically, with all this information. Now, at the time, I thought that that was the clever thing to do. I thought that that was what I should be doing, because what did I know? I had no experience. Everyone else had all the answers, and I didn't. So therefore, I should be listening to everyone. And that would also manifest itself in looking at other drummers that maybe were my peers, similar ages, trying to do similar things. And I would look at their playing, and I would be so enamored with how they played, and then in my head I was going, well, that's working for them, so maybe I should be doing that, maybe I should be playing like that. I would look at other people who did play like me, and then they were doing big gigs, or they were just doing gigs, they were working, and I was like, well, maybe I should be doing that, maybe I should be asking them what they're doing and do more of that. But then I would be like vulnerable with them, then they'd realize that actually I'm an imposter and I'm not doing the thing and I should be doing more, and all this stuff, and overwhelm, and I would just, like I say, fill my brain full of all these inputs that would once again render me completely paralyzed and unable to take any action whatsoever, which left me feeling useless, to be honest. Absolutely useless, a useless human, not valuable, and just, I would spiral. I would spiral down, and this went on for years, like years and years and years. And life was great when the phone was ringing and I had a focus, because I knew that I could do that. I knew that once there was a goal, I knew how to hit that goal. That is how my brain operates. It still operates. I learned that very early on about myself. It's one of my strongest qualities, I think, in life, that is where I thrive. But when I don't have that, I really struggle. I really do. I still do. I'm trying to work on this. I'm trying to get better at it, and I'll explain how in a minute. But yeah, I would literally hang my value on whether other people wanted me. And trust me when I say, not the best way to live your life. So I've had many conversations with other musicians about this, and the fact that, you know, just hanging your value on whether the phone is ringing. And I feel like every time I say that, it makes me sound older and older, because the point of reference for the younger people. So, okay, whether the phone is ringing, or whether my email is pinging, or whether someone sent me a message on Instagram or whatever else, if that wasn't happening and people were saying to me, we want you, to then not have any value in myself, very not good, very would not recommend, 0 out of 5 stars, just no. It's you know, and like I say, when it's great, it's great, but inevitably the work always comes to an end, and whatever that looks like, it will always come to an end, because it's life, everything does. So yeah, I realized that this was probably not a great way to go, and honestly, years. I had years of this kind of seesawing of getting on gigs, I'm feeling great, I'm feeling invincible, and everything's awesome, and life is good. And then it would finish, and then it'd be like, oh my God, flailing, until another call comes in. It's like, oh no, it's all fine. We'll just ignore the fact that I have been feeling horrendous about myself for the last 3 months, 6 months. Like, let's just ignore that happened, because now everything's good. So let's just focus on that. And this kind of, like I say, this back and forth and this ignorance is bliss kind of thing would just give me the highest highs, but the lowest lows. And it just was not sustainable. Absolutely not. And then the thing that changed it for me, the thing that I think truly made me realize that I couldn't carry on living like this, because it was actually dangerous. Like, I've spoken about it before, but you know, I have for a long time suffered with depression, anxiety, and those lows were so low, they were so dark. I wouldn't want anyone to go to the places that I went to, but fortunately, I don't know, it is what it is. I think a lot of creative people have that darkness inside of them. And it's part of the reason that we are able to do what we do, because we channel that. And for me, music certainly is a coping mechanism. My drums, 100% a coping mechanism, always has been. For that, I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful. Thank you, drums. Love you. But the point is, just because it's a coping mechanism doesn't mean that you have to live your life that way. And the turning point for me, speaking of the darkness in my soul, was the darkness. And I know that I often talk about this period of time in my life, but it was so pivotal for me, because it gave me the realization of the extent to which I was looking outside of myself for happiness, for fulfillment, for success, in inverted commas. And I think I just got to a point where I just got sick of it. I was like, no, because why was I hanging my value on what other people thought of me, essentially? That's a dangerous place to be in. Not much good can come of that, I can tell you, because things will always change. And, you know, it's just, I can't even explain how crazy it makes me feel thinking that I was thinking like that, but I was. And like I say, it mainly was because I didn't trust my own judgment. I didn't trust what I thought to be valuable in myself. I didn't trust that. That wasn't valuable, because I wasn't seeing any validation from what I was doing. When I got the call for the darkness, it felt like there was validation, and then it became validation because it was, you know, it was a known band. It was people that were not just in the drum community took notice, and there was something very amazing about that. It was also very scary, can I say? I have this other thing about anonymity. I won't go into it, but anyway, so there was a lot of push and pull for me. But anyway, that's another story for another time. But once that went away, it was the biggest low, because it wasn't just validation from other musicians. And then on top of that, it wasn't just validation from other drummers. It was validation from the general public to a degree. It's a small group. And by the way, Darklings, you absolutely rule. You are such sweethearts, and I will never forget the kindness that you showed me coming into the darkness and coming out of the darkness. Everyone was so lovely and so, oh, I just, honestly, I was so scared, and they were so kind, and I will be forever grateful for that. Forever, 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 you will never know. So I was lucky in that respect. However, when I came out of that, like I say, the low was so heavy, and again, I went to my go-tos. I went to looking for external validation. I went to audiobooks. I was listening to podcasts at that time. Then podcasts definitely existed. And I was filling my brain once again of the way out, the way that I could, you know, fix myself, my broken self, the way that I could feel worthy, the way that I could feel good enough just living in my skin. And what I realized, and that was in 2015, I want to say, what I realized then gradually and what I realize now, because, you know, over the last, 7 years, eight years, what I've realized is that I was not looking in the right place. What I started doing and what I should have been doing for all this time is actually stopping and actually listening to myself and noticing what I actually wanted. And this is something that, as I say, I'm still working on this. It scares the bejesus out of me. The reason for that is because, as I say, because I've dealt with a lot of depression. Often, when I stop and when I sit in silence, my biggest fear is going back to that place of depression. And I will do anything, anything in this world to avoid that again. Because it's the worst thing you can ever imagine. If you haven't suffered with it, it's the deepest, darkest pit that you feel like you just will never emerge from. There's a lot of numbness involved. It's horrendous. I would never wish it upon anyone in the world. It's awful. So anyway, this is the reason that I tried to avoid it. My avoidance tactics were, they were down to a T. It was all about just finding the answer. The answer. Well, who has, everyone else has the answer. Why don't I have the answer? But when all that happened with the darkness, I remember distinctly, I went away on holiday. I had decided that for the rest of that year, for the rest of 2015, because this all happened in May of 2015. Yeah, it was just before my mom's birthday. And I sort of reconciled with myself the fact that the phone won't ring for the rest of this year because, as far as anyone's concerned, you know, I'm playing with the darkness and no one's going to call. And although this was now, you know, public knowledge that I was now not playing with the darkness anymore, you know, just because somebody said something doesn't mean the whole world knows about it yet. So it was going to take some time for that news to permeate and sort of people to know that I was back on the books to go and do gigs. And because I was so proud and so embarrassed and so just feeling horrendous about myself, I wasn't going to reach out to people and tell them that I was still around. Absolutely not. That wasn't going to happen. My pride, my ego, it couldn't handle it. I was so hurt. I was so upset. I didn't want to be vulnerable. I didn't want to go, hey guys, so I failed. Please, I have no work. Can you please hire me, please? Thank you, please. Thank you, I hope you're well. That wasn't going to happen. So I just, you know, that was too painful for me. But I gave myself the grace to kind of sit down and just allow myself to sit and feel the feelings. And like I say, that is the scariest thing to me. But I did it. And in that moment, and by moment, I mean like a week that I was sat there and I tried to not, you know, bombard myself with information, trying to find answers from other people's experiences. I just tried to notice how I was feeling about it and what I was feeling about it and why it didn't work and why there was negative feeling around it, what the positive feelings were around it, and just noticing, you know, the journey that I'd come on so far and all the things that I really loved about what I was doing and all the things that I absolutely despised. Because just because you end up doing what you love for a living, it doesn't mean that you automatically love everything about it. And it's quite a jarring experience to realize that there's parts of your job that you hate. There are parts of my job that I hate, really, truly. But because you're kind of in such a privileged position of doing what you love, I felt a lot of guilt around, you know, hating certain aspects of my job. But I kind of just allowed myself to explore that and why that was. And basically, I just sat in silence. And this was a pivotal moment for me. It absolutely was. It's the thing that led me to doing my one-woman show. It's the thing that led me to opening my remote recording business. And, you know, it was a life-changing moment. Now, then, after that, I went back to my default setting. Because I had goals, it went back to, like, just bombarding myself with information. Obviously, I needed information. I needed to learn more about running a business. I needed to learn about the actual physicality of remote recording, just recording generally, recording drums, you know, outboard, mics, you know, input from that. I needed all of that, and that was fine. But then I found myself again just bombarding myself to the point that I was not silent enough to just listen to myself again. And once again, I was either looking for external validation or I was getting enough that I didn't have to actually sit in silence with myself, which is fine, but actually it's not fine. It's actually not fine. I've spent a long time basically using diversion tactics with myself. And when things are painful to me, I try and focus on something else. And as I say, that can be podcasts, audiobooks, books generally. It can be in work. Like, I'm sure that you have noticed this about me. I am actually a workaholic. I have a very addictive personality. I'm very lucky in that I have chosen where to point that addiction, because there are other places that I could have pointed it. I have pointed it in the past. I've managed to come back from, which I'm proud of myself. I will pat myself on the back for that. But that doesn't mean that work is not a healthy addiction. But again, the kind of idea of sitting in silence, oh, it's so painful for me. But what that means is I don't rest. I don't actually stop. I'm trying to get better. I'll tell you something that I read recently. Of course, I read something. That's how this all came about. And I wanted to talk about it. And then after seeing this John Lithgow thing, I was like, let me just talk about this. So I read this book. And it's called Untamed by this wonderful author called Glennon Doyle. And she basically was talking about the fact that there's a lot that goes into this book, and I would highly recommend anyone reading it. It's such a beautiful story about how she was in this marriage with three kids, and then she realized that she was gay after meeting this woman called Abby, who is just beautiful, and then sort of all the feelings that came along with that, and how she actually was not feeling her feelings for so long. And this resonated with me so much, because I realized that I was actually just trying to avoid all my feelings, but the moments that I actually sat with my feelings, that's when I made my best decisions. That's when I just felt really in alignment with what I was doing and why I was doing it. It's the reason that I started this podcast. I sat with myself and I was like, right, what do I want to do? How am I feeling about this? Like, why? Just all the questions. And that's where I found the most fulfilling parts of my, not just my career, my life, definitely. I love doing this. I love doing this podcast. I love the fact that I can connect with other people and help them. Or just, you know what it is? Do you know what the bottom line is? I just don't want anyone, I don't want you to feel alone. In whatever you're feeling, I don't want you to feel like you're the only one going through this. You're not. You're absolutely not. I can guarantee it. And maybe I don't understand, but somebody else will. 100%. It's the human experience. 100%. But anyway, reading this book, I suddenly felt like I'm not alone. I'm not the only one that's avoiding these emotions. And as I say, you know me, I love to look retrospectively at my life. I like to make sense of what has happened, why it's happened, the journey that I've taken to get to wherever I am right now. And after reading this book, I mean, I was in tears at points in this book because it was resonating with me so hard and it was so painful. But what I realized was it was in those moments of pain, of reflection, but most of all silence and listening to myself, that the greatest parts, the greatest facets of my life emerged, that still exist, that give me the most joy in my life. They weren't easy to face, but the result is beyond anything I could have ever envisaged for myself through looking to everyone else. Definitely. So the reason that I just wanted to speak on this is just to say that, yes, okay, look outside other people for inspiration, look outside to other people for inspiration or information or all that sort of stuff. That's fine. But please, 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 and I'm semi-talking to myself so I remember because I have a horrendous memory, please just also take time to sit with yourself and listen to yourself and get silent and remove all the stimulation, whether that's sitting and watching a film or a series or listening to an audiobook or a podcast or asking everyone else what they think or even work, all that sort of stuff. Just take moments to check in with yourself and notice what you're feeling. And it doesn't even need to be, there doesn't need to be an outcome even. I suppose that's why a lot of people enjoy or find value in meditation. I also do meditation. It's not the same for me. Meditation is, and maybe I'm doing it wrong in inverted commas. Why do I keep saying invertent? That's not what I mean. Inverted commas. I find other value in meditation, but it's not the same as just sitting and listening to myself and listening to how I'm actually feeling about a situation and being brutally honest. Because I feel like, at least for me, my mind and my body will give me clues. Now, whether I choose to listen to them in the moment is... I often don't, I'll be honest. But that's mainly because I have a job to do. There is a goal. But I often in the past would not have listened to those feelings until I get to a point where it's too much. And then suddenly it's like a switch and it's like yes or no and that's it. And often it's nope, we're done. Like that's it. But it has to get to such an extreme, whether that's externally, whether that's internally, such an extreme that it's like, nah, we're not doing this and we're walking away. And it becomes just very intense very quickly. Turns out my mum's like that too. I found this out the other week and it gave me a lot of peace. I was like, oh, cool. All right. Yeah. That, because she's like one of the greatest humans, loveliest humans on the planet. So the fact that I was like, oh, you have that too? That's okay, cool. I thought I was the only one. See, never feel like you're not alone. But anyway, I don't think it needs to get to that point. So I'm trying to carve out time where I just sit in silence. It's hard, my goodness, because I find it so difficult sitting with my emotions and my feelings and my thoughts because I'm so scared of going back to that dark place that it's so scary to me, but I know that I need to do it. So I've been doing it. The dark place has not reemerged yet. It probably will. In fact, no, it did a little bit, but it wasn't as scary and bad as I thought. I think the anticipation of it was way harder to deal with than the actuality. But already, things have come to light for me that... I don't know. I just feel so much more settled in myself. I feel like my direction is so much clearer. And that I feel like I'm doing the right thing for me. which is something that I have not done for a long time. Maybe in little spurts here and there, but consistently, nah, that's not my life story. Definitely not, but I want it to be. So here I am. And it's difficult and it's hard and it's not easy, but I think that's okay. I don't think it's meant to be easy, but I think it's meant to be worth it. Hopefully, let's see. But I just wanted to, like I say, I'm sorry, this is not exactly the most concise way of talking on this subject. But as I say, I'm still going through it. I will continue to go through it. But if you're feeling the same, if you feel like you're kind of not sitting with your thoughts and you're trying to just try and get away from them in any which way you can, and maybe that's through, like, I don't know, drink or drugs or anything like that. That's not something that I've ever sort of gone to because I have a vomiting phobia. So that's fun. So that keeps me away from all that stuff. But, you know, I get it through I divert to work. I'm a workaholic, you know, to podcasts, to information. I'm an informationaholic. That's definitely not a thing. But yeah, if you can bear to, even in tiny little moments, just to be able to sit with your feelings and notice what you're feeling and notice where the pull is, where do you actually want to be going? Because everyone's journey is so different. You know, every facet that I have to my career, my life, home life, you know, with my family, with my friends, is so unique to me. That every relationship that I have is so unique to me. And it's the same for you. It will be like, there will be no one on this planet that has ever had the exact combination of things that you have right now. So lean into that. But the only way you can do that really is by just sitting and being still and being silent. And even saying that right now, it just makes me feel so uncomfortable. But I'm also big into normalizing the discomfort. Again, it's my goal-orientated self. It is who I am. Like, I am who I am. So I'm going to try and get better at that. And maybe you want to try to, maybe you don't. That's fine. But I just wanted to share how I'm feeling because, like I said, this book Untamed by Glennon Doyle, that Instagram post that had John Lithgow talking about it, also Glennon and her sister Amanda and her wife Abby have a podcast called We Can Do Hard Things. It makes me feel very comforted. They talk about all this sort of stuff too. And it just makes me feel like, okay, cool. I'm not the only one who's feeling like this. I think that's a big part of life, is just not feeling like you're the only one. So I wanted to put that out there to you. And like I said, this may not resonate with you. If you've listened this far, well done if it doesn't resonate with you, because it must feel very abstract. But I don't want you flailing in the middle of the sea like I was. I don't often feel like I am now. There are moments, and that's okay. I'm kind of just more accepting of it, I suppose. But like I said, I'm just going to try and sit with my feelings and feel them. And it's scary, and feel all the feelings. It's terrifying. It's terrifying to me. It's fine, though. It's fine. It's fine. I know as soon as I'm saying it's fine, it's like, it's probably not fine. Therapy, that's good too. I go to therapy. I highly suggest it for many people. In fact, for everyone, I think it's very useful. Anyway, right, I'm going to go now. If you enjoyed this episode, this ramble, then please feel free to like, subscribe, and share. Also, if you want to go the extra mile, you can now support this podcast on Patreon, and you can do that by going to patreon.com/EmilyDrums. That's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. You will get early access to any new episodes that are coming out. Also, you'll get to offer up any topics you'd like me to cover. And I do monthly Zoom hangs and yeah, just all that sort of stuff. So that's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. Anyway, I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go and sit in silence for 5 minutes. But yeah, I hope that you're having a lovely day. And join me again next time as I ramble on another subject. But have a great day. Sending you all of my love right now. Yeah, and I'll see you soon. All right, see you later. Bye. It's